Welcome to episode 348 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on language and communication. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Still talking about talking.
Yeah, I hear we have a mystery.
We do.
Yeah.
As in, how did language get started?
Oh.
Considering the constraints of what they call signals theory.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So you understand it fully. PhD
I'm
on this topic.
I'm not sure it's as much of a mystery as they think it is.
Okay.
So somewhere in here is going to be my little guess as to what might work.
Okay.
But let's talk about some stuff that critters do.
Okay.
Like plants.
Yes.
Bean plants apparently will send out a signal to other bean plants
mm-hmm.
when attacked by aphids.
Oh.
So that the other bean plants will go, okay, we'll go ahead and make some anti-aphid substances.
I didn't know there was anti-aphid substances.
Yeah, well, neither did I. really is. The thing is, those substances aren't really good for the plant, which is why they can't just leave them on.
Yeah.
But let's examine this closer. Let's say there's a bunch of bugs. So here we are. We're a whole lot of bugs.
Yes, we are.
And we're living in some environment where we don't want to get we don't want to be eaten by the birds.
No.
The birds.
The birds. Okay, gotcha.
So we go to all sorts of trouble to make pigment that makes us blend into our background.
Ah, okay.
But then one day,
mm-hmm.
there's something that changes in some of the bugs.
Okay.
Say, one little family.
Uh-huh.
Both their pigment production gets screwed up.
Uh-huh.
And it's not really good for them. The protein they start making is not good for the bug.
Okay. Why would you do it?
All right. Well, this is not like you wanted to do this. It happened.
Okay.
So now you are visually easy to see.
Uh-oh.
And you're kind of gross.
So you could be ate.
Yes.
The birds.
The birds.
But you don't taste
good. The bird
good.
Feels awful, gets kind of queasy, vomits you right back up and not into the mouths of its baby birds.
Ooh, I'm not digging those zebra-colored freaking aphids.
So they start to avoid your relatives.
Oh.
So even though you died, your genetic legacy is still insured because your relatives are all very brightly colored.
And gross. Okay.
So the birds start avoiding you and your colorful relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, the more colorful relatives survive better than the less colorful relatives.
Okay.
Noxiousness. Also, over time, you may become more tolerant of this new protein and even start to make more of it. So that you can cross the line from noxious to actually deadly poisonous.
This all makes sense.
Yeah, so far so good. The signal is actually good for both you, the bug, so you don't get eaten, and the bird. They don't eat the bug that makes them sick and or kills them.
Ah, okay. Here is this obvious natural cue that we've come up with together.
Yes. Now the liars start to show up.
Oh, no.
These are bugs who start making pretty pigments.
Oh.
Again, not on purpose. There's no planning here. It just happens.
Right.
And they're not at all noxious. They're delicious. But the bird doesn't find out, does it?
No.
Because I'm not eating that. You know what happened last time I ate one of
stuck in a tree for months.
Yeah. But it's an unstable situation.
Because
the bird that goes ahead and tries one of these bugs after all, if there are too many liars, we'll never learn to avoid the brightly colored ones.
Okay. Well, crap.
Yes. But there's a twist to this.
Uh-huh.
While the birds were avoiding brightly colored bugs, those who were genetically predisposed to do so would have a certain advantage.
Okay, yeah.
So they can end up with a hardwired instinct, something not even learned anymore. Just don't eat the bright ones.
Okay.
So that can help counter the liar situation.
Oh.
And the question is, how do we get complicated language? Because words are cheap.
Yeah.
It's so easy to lie with words.
I tell you, I grew a foot today. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take another example mm-hmm. where you are signaling that you are a great person to make babies with.
Okay.
With, I don't know, your antlers.
Okay.
Your funny tail, your fancy plumage. I guess we're birds now.
Mm-hmm.
With antlers.
what monstrosity are you concocting? Okay.
Here's the thing. Those signals are only worth something if they're hard to do.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's too easy to lie.
I see.
And so there's no advantage either for, you know, sexy displays
mm-hmm.
or for choosiness on the parts of your mate towards sexy displays.
Uh-huh.
So this is the big problem with how complicated language got started. The presence of liars and how easy it is to lie
mm-hmm.
and how there can be great advantages to telling little fibs here and there.
Right, right.
Like, run away, there's a predator. Honest, I don't want all the bananas.
Why bananas?
I don't know, because we're monkeys now.
Okay.
With antlers.
We're so undecided. sorry, but the antlers are solid. Yeah.
Anyway, let's take a look at a couple of critters that have something like language, or at least the very beginnings of them, like dolphins,
uh-huh.
which we talked about on Monday. I want to start with some dolphins.
Thank God.
And some pufferfish.
Of course.
Like last week,
mm-hmm.
we talked about dolphins who might be using blowfish to get high.
Yeah, okay.
Since then, I've run into a bunch of other articles who say, no,
How dare you accuse our beloved dolphins?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's plenty of animals that do seek intoxication. It's not just humans.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I thought I'd at least give an update and say, hey, nobody's actually sure whether or not that's what's happening.
Okay.
Just they're not sure how much dolphins communicate.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study that came out in 2016
okay.
from Russia.
Okay.
A couple of dolphins, they're sitting in a tank, and they're sort of sitting right next to each other. And according to the Russian, he's got solid evidence of language use between these two dolphins.
Right, right.
Because they were sitting there kind of murmuring at each other and taking turns with their vocalizations.
That sounds like a conversation.
Yeah, except a whole lot of animals will sit there and murmur to each other.
Think of our
There's
our
call and response all over nature, right? Just because you don't interrupt each other.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, people who use language interrupt each other all the time. Listen to me and my co-host
yeah,
for any episode at all.
So,
that's enough of you talking.
Yep.
So people aren't that excited about this thing.
Okay.
Denise Herzing.
That's not the Russian dude.
No, that's an American. I think she's American. She might be Canadian. It's hard to tell. But she's living in the Bahamas and has been for decades now.
Uh-huh.
Tracking dolphins in the wild. She specifically chose the Bahamas because it's nice, clear water. And you can actually see what the dolphins are doing.
There you go. And wild, right? As mm-hmm. opposed to...
As opposed to stuck in some tank somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a little safer for the divers because you can see the sharks.
Oh, right.
I've heard a couple of different reports. Some say she's just following some spotted dolphins. Some say she's following them and some bottlenose dolphins as well.
Okay.
The mirror test for dolphins.
Oh, right.
For a long time, it was assumed that the dolphins had passed that mirror test. Some dissenters have come out and said, oh, you know what? Without a mirror, they kind of act the same way.
Okay.
So there's some controversy going on there. The mirror test. And it's not really necessarily the best test of self-awareness that exists. All sorts of controversy around it.
Yeah, yeah.
But whether or not they pass that test, at least bottlenose dolphins mm-hmm. have names.
Really?
They got particular whistles that are expressed by individual people.
Hey, Frank, or hey,
people, dolphins, I mean. They don't know how complicated dolphin language is.
Like, every time they come up with something, they're like, oh, no, that can't be true.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to the whole subject.
Yeah.
We're going to be getting into how language got started
mm-hmm.
in this episode. And if you want to, yeah, they're arguing about animals we can see right now.
Yeah.
When you're talking about humans, it's like, what did we do back when no one was paying attention? Those dolphins.
Yeah.
Not sure how much of a complicated language they have. It may be fairly simple, actually, and have only to do with what's immediately in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or for all we know, they're having very complicated conversations, you know, while they're eating the one fish, going, you know what, I really could use some Italian.
I was going to say, we can't really hear the full spectrum of their speech.
This is true.
But we're also smart, so we can put microphones in that we can do that. Yeah.
Whether or not they have a language, they have responded to artificial languages.
Oh.
Researchers will make noises they can hear
mm-hmm.
and associate them with various toys and so forth.
Oh.
And the dolphins pick up on that and will start using those sounds to ask for those toys.
Oh.
Those sorts of things. Both them and primates. Primates, in fact, have learned things like American Sign Language.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also been sort of iconography. There's a bunch of little symbols on a board.
Yeah, yeah.
Deliberately chosen so that they don't in any way picture or represent the objects they're being assigned to.
Okay.
So that it's totally arbitrary. And some monkeys have been able to learn hundreds of these symbols and use them.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that interests me in this whole shebang is back when they first taught ASL to various monkeys,
mm-hmm.
how the mothers would then turn around and teach it to their young.
Okay.
They are capable of using a language uh-huh. once it's taught to them. And once they have it, they seem to think it's a good idea and want to keep the ball rolling.
So why don't we, poison the species? Why don't we go out to all the monkeys of the world?
All the monkeys of the world, here's language, here's how you use fire, and here's how you shoot an Uzi.
Suddenly seems like a bad
idea. Yeah, guerrilla warfare, right?
Literally.
Primates in the wild. Verdant monkeys are the most studied.
Mm-hmm.
They live in East Africa, and they got four predators they deal with.
Okay.
Including a snake.
Uh-huh.
An eagle.
Okay.
A leopard.
Yes.
And a baboon.
Baboons, huh? Oh, yeah. They're terrible, nasty creatures.
Oh, yeah. Primates are willing to eat other primates. It happens. Yeah. But they have different alarm calls for each of these predators.
Uh-huh.
There's some debate about whether this counts as, like, are these nouns for these different predators?
Yeah.
Or are these alarm calls that say you're going to have to run away like this?
Oh, okay.
They flew a drone over some of these monkeys,
mm-hmm.
and they made the alarm call associated with being hunted by raptors or eagles, you know, birds of prey.
Yeah.
And then later, when the monkeys heard the sound of the drone, they looked up.
Oh.
So they at least are using them in kind of a context.
Mm-hmm.
There's another group of monkeys. I forget which one is which. They have words for, hey, a threat from the air, or, hey, a threat from the ground.
Oh, it's a little simpler, yeah?
Yes, but they combine the calls. So, for example, if an eagle is sitting on the ground, they will do the aerial predator noise and then the ground predator noise, saying, there's an aerial threat on the ground.
This is a Darwin test. He gets the stupid ones out because they're like, air ground.
Another thing that can happen with like snakes or leopards.
Okay.
These are ground predators, but they're in the trees. So you'll get the ground noise and then the hey, look up noise.
Ah.
So they are able to combine some of their sounds to make different meanings.
Okay, cool.
The cotton top cormorants, one of my favorite monkeys.
It's fun to say, anyways.
Yes, they have grammar. Specifically, they got, hey, it's a snake warning call.
Mm-hmm.
And another call they use to modify how urgent it is. So, like, if it's a snake sunning itself on a branch two trees over, it's like, hey, guys, be aware. Don't forage in that direction.
Yeah.
If it's a snake crawling up towards you.
Run! Run for your life!
But again, you got to deal with the fact that they're liars, right? What do you do about that, huh? We can go back to the dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
When they're making their names, their name whistle,
okay.
Sometimes the way they use it changes the way the rest of the pod reacts. Because if they just sort of go, I'm here, versus I'm here, which is sort of a happy noise,
yeah.
It kind of means, hey, there's food here.
Mm-hmm.
If you all show up, we can all get more food. or they go, oh, I'm here, as in there's a predator.
I'm here. You don't want to be here.
Okay. Yes, but even though that's not even a grammar, that's just saying their own name in different ways and sending cues. Same sort of thing happens with the monkeys. They only have like a two-word grammar that they can handle for some reason. And it often has to do with the context. So what do they do about fibbers?
I don't know.
Well, as a matter of fact, they can recognize one another's voices, both with the dolphins and with the monkeys.
Aha.
Unreliable members get ignored.
That's Bubba again.
Yes. This is why I think, even with liars, you can have a stable enough signal system to eventually turn into human language.
Yeah.
Because if you are able to tell when they're big fat liars, then you are not destabilized by the big fat lies.
This totally makes sense to me. What's the mystery again?
Yeah, I know. They seem to have just skipped a step.
Huh.
Anyway, yes, somehow all of this grew into the complexity that is human language, which we're going to talk about next time. See you then.
Bye.